story is like this. It's around and around and around. But notice one thing about all my spinning. Other than the fact that some of y'all are getting dizzy just watching me do this, imagine how it feels to actually do it. Imagine how it feels for me actually doing it. Well, this is what it feels like when you're spinning. 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 Lots of motion. But I keep ending up right where I started. I'm right back here, only now I can't see straight. Now that's what it's like to toss and turn over stuff you can't control. Because after you've spent all night spinning, all day spinning in your head, and what if they, and you know, it starts with the most innocent thought. It's not the devil's been at this a long time, sweetie. He's not going to give you a bad thought. He's going to try to give you an innocent thought and get you to take it in the wrong direction. A scenario that on the surface doesn't seem that bad, but it's the way you spin it. It's like, you know, Fox News and CNN. It's one story they're telling, but it's spinning different ways. And it's how you spin it that determines how you see it. I am preaching Matthew chapter 6 like it's my last time today. Because when you get in that spin cycle, it's just around and around and around and around. And it doesn't make any difference. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not working on it. I'm not making progress anywhere. And the devil gets me so dizzy that now by the time that I'm facing my real life challenges, I don't have the equilibrium to apply the effort in the direction that would create a result. Because I'm so dizzy, I can't find my balance. And now I don't know who to trust. I don't know what to do. Whoa, hang on, I need a minute, I've been spinning. By the way, that's why it takes you a few minutes when you get to church to get your heart in the right place, for the caffeine to kick in, and for you to stop spinning. Jesus said, look up at the birds, and then look at the flowers. The flowers? So you want me to look up, you want me to look down? I want you to look both. And notice something that the flowers don't do that your mind has been doing lately. He said, when you look at the flowers, notice how they do not labor or, give me the verse, please, 28. They do not labor or, and yet, your father, they don't spin. They don't sow. The birds don't store away. The flowers don't spin. Yet, look how God does that on that level. And if he made you in his image, what makes you think that you have to spin out in these cycles? You know, these tormenting cycles. These confusing cycles. So you've been going around and around and around in circles. But God said today is your day to stop spinning. If your mind has been doing this, I came to preach to you, and the presence of the Lord is in this place, and your Father knows what you need. So stop spinning. Stop worrying about what God is already working on. And just worship him.
Part of this being brave is about learning to discern in your life between a genuine concern and a needless anxiety. But I would say to you that sometimes you can interpret the same event in both of those ways. So you can turn a genuine concern into a needless anxiety by the way you approach it. Because it's the same word. And so sometimes you go through a situation and you deal with it and you handle it with strength. You're brave about it. That's a genuine concern. Sometimes you go through a situation and you're tied all up in knots about stuff you can't do much about anyway. That's a needless anxiety. Wisdom will show you the difference between needless anxiety and genuine concern. And here's how you can do it. Be anxious for no thing. I was talking to a friend one time, and this was many years ago. He spilled orange juice on his computer while he was on the phone with me one morning. But he was so calm about it. He said, oh, hang on a second. And he was gone a long time on the phone. I said, what happened? He said, I just spilled a whole glass of orange juice on my computer. It's not working anymore. I said, and you're not using profanity? And he said, no, it's nothing but a thing. It's nothing but a thing. This guy isn't a billionaire. He said, it's nothing but a thing. If you can fix it, fix it. If they can't, they can't. It's nothing but a thing. And I thought, I want that. Do you remember that phrase? We used to say it a lot when I was coming up. We used to say, ain't nothing but a thing. And I think Paul's trying to get us to see here in Philippians 4, be anxious for no thing. Be concerned about the state of your soul. Be concerned about the state of your children's soul. Be concerned about God's work in the world. That's a genuine concern. But when it comes to the things, you got to learn to look at some things in your life and just say, hey, ain't nothing but a thing. It is nothing but a thing. Let me show you this in Romans. Paul is talking in Romans about some pretty heavy stuff. And he says, verse 31, Romans chapter 8, what then shall we say in response to these? Say it out loud. Every location, say it out loud. In response to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's what gives me courage sometimes when I feel opposed. I just say, well, if God's on my side, I'm good. And if he's not, I'm in trouble. So it really doesn't matter what they're saying about me. It just matters what God sees in me. Because if he's for me, who can be against me? Take a number, line up. It won't matter because I'll still be standing. And you can have that confidence as God's child. It's not cocky. It's just confident. That's what Paul's saying. It says, it's just a thing. He said, it's a thing. Look at the next verse. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? It's nothing but a thing. Skip to verse 37. He starts listing some things. He says, no, in all these we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What kind of things are you talking about, Paul? Spilling orange juice on the computer? Big deal. No, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons. This is heavy stuff. Neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor any. Let me just put a blank here so you can fill it in. Nor anything else in all creation. Bankruptcy, joblessness, homelessness, addiction, whatever will be able to separate us. Nor any. Oh, I love it. Nor anything else, nor any, you see it, nor anything else, nor anything else. Reach everybody you can reach and tell them it ain't nothing but a thing. It ain't nothing but a thing. It ain't nothing but a thing. This is a thing. Be anxious for no thing. I want you to do that this week. Now, when you're faced with something, and if it doesn't fit in Paul's list, that's what the blank is for. That's what the anything is for, is nothing but a thing. And shift over from needless anxiety to genuine concern, controlling what you can and trusting God where you can't.
When the enemy comes after your destiny, his first step is to set up a stronghold in your imagination. The enemy wants to make it where you can't stand to be alone. And every time you go to think, you worry so much about what might happen that you can't worship God. So now you can't worship because you're so worried. But God said today, we're going to get this thing turned around and recapture your imagination to where you feel free again, to where you can dream about something again, to where you can think crazy thoughts and just write stuff down and just walk around singing stuff off tune, making up words. You used to do that. You used to walk around just with just anything, but now I told the devil the other day, get your hands off God's property. My imagination is God's house. My imagination was purchased with the blood of Christ. You can't set up camp here. I got dreams to dream. I got visions to see. I got a future to imagine. The good news is, if you're really good at worrying, you're going to be great at worship. Because all it is the same imagination serving the opposite purpose. So what I'm doing now, y'all help me preach. I'm about to close. But before I close, God said, we need to reverse the cycle of the way that you're thinking about things. We need to reverse the cycle. So when you wake up in the morning, stop checking the fear cast. Stop waking up in the morning and thinking about how every possible meeting could go wrong and you don't have anything clean and you wore that on Tuesday. I promise you, nobody has been keeping a spreadsheet of your shoes. Put on those same shoes you wore Tuesday and walk into your Thursday and expect to see the goodness of the Lord. Where you at, faith people? Do I have any faith casters in the house? David said, if I take the wings of morning or dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, watch this, even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me fast, because God is watching over me and he's looking into me. I didn't check the fear cast this week. I checked the faith cast. It's corny, but I bet you it'll drive back depression if you check the faith cast, because God has been too good for me to stay anxious. But now the interesting thing is, I'm holding the mic, but there's a guy that you don't see named Neil. And Neil this week, among many others at our different locations, happens to be in the back of the room, sitting behind a console. And you know what's interesting? I'm up here talking, and I'm holding the mic, but at any moment, Neil can decide. At any moment, he can decide, you know, maybe I fuss at him or something like that, and he doesn't like it. Moment. Here's the principle. I'm holding it, but I'm not controlling it. They got it last night. That's what I know about my life. That's what I know about my time. That's what I'm learning about my money. That's what I'm learning about my children, my responsibility. I'm holding it, but somebody I can't see is controlling it. He's in control. He speaks and winds obey. He speaks and waves die down. He speaks and seas split, because what I can see is controlled by that hand that I can't see. And now I want to humble myself under that mighty hand. And I'm coming to the place in my life where I say, God, I don't even know what I need anymore. So I trust you and your timing. And I trust you and your heart. And I trust you and your wisdom. And I humble myself. And as I humble myself, my anxiety goes out the door with my pride and my arrogance and my plan. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Watch this, comma. What happens next is predicated on whether or not what happens in verse 6 is applied. In Greek, it is one sentence. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may exalt you in due time. Watch this. Casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. See, I've been trying to cast my anxieties and keep my pride. But the thing about it is, you need to know that the pride and the anxiety come in the same package. So if you insist on doing it your way, then expect to feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, because it is. You can't just do verse 7 because you decide to. God, take it off me. God, take it off me. I'm so worried, God. Make me not worried anymore. Don't you care if we perish? That's what Peter said one time in the boat. Don't you care that we're drowning? Don't you care? God, you said cast all my anxieties on you. I'm casting them. This isn't working. See, look at the word anxiety. Because I'm telling the Lord in my prayers, I don't know if I can do it, and I just need you to give me a sign that I can take the church for the next 10 years, and I just need to take this anxiety. I'm casting it on you, Lord. I am casting it on you. All of my anxiety. And after I prayed this way for a little while, the Lord spoke to me in my heart. Now, this is not an out loud conversation. I don't want you to think I'm really, really crazy. But this is the impression that I got. The Lord said, are you done now? Shut up, Peter. You done now? Look at the word. Anxiety. Look at how it's spelled in English. Look at what is in the center of the word. Do you see it? Show them on the screen. At the center of your anxiety, if you really trace it, I'm not talking about a medical condition. I'm not a pharmacist. I don't know about all that. I am not a neurologist. I'm saying, spiritually speaking, that the Lord told me, at the center of your anxiety is your pride. The reason that you're so anxious is because you've got you at the center, and you can't sustain it because it's not your throne. I mean, even listen to your language. The Lord said, I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can make it. If I. You can't spell anxiety without I. It's right in the middle. And you know what other word I is in the middle of? Pride. And maybe the reason that you've been carrying anxiety that you can't get rid of is because you've been bearing weight that you weren't meant to bear. You better humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Because if you stay weighed down with pride, you're going to be weighed down with anxiety, and God can't lift you up.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.